Please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia, chapter 1, verses 10 through 24. For those of you who weren't able to be with us last week, we have just begun a new series in the book of Galatians entitled Good News for You, in which we want to explore together the good news of the gospel. Our passage this morning is from Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 through 24, as we consider together the supernatural nature of the gospel. Again, our text this morning is from Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. Let's hear God's word. For am I now seeking the approval of man, or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. If you've heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do ask now for your supernatural work of grace and blessing. We pray now, Lord, that as we consider your word together, you would be pleased. You would be well pleased to apply your word to our hearts, that you would send forth your mighty spirit of grace and comfort. You would send forth your spirit of truth, that you would open up the eyes of our hearts to help us understand, to help us to receive and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, through the person of your Spirit, and minister to us and bless us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we saw that the gospel is good news. It's exciting, it's refreshing, it's invigorating, it's like a glass of ice-cold water on a hot, sweaty day. The gospel is really good news because it's not primarily about you. And one more thing you've got to do. The gospel is primarily about God, and who he is, and what he's already done for you. And that is really good news. Now this morning we want to consider together the supernatural nature of the gospel. That is, this is not just another message, but the gospel is supernatural in its nature. Okay. Last time we saw that Paul is an apostle. That means he's been sent out like an ambassador or a herald. An apostle is someone sent out with a message. Paul has been sent to you with news. And yet we saw last week that Paul quickly clarifies that. He qualifies it. He says, not from man. That is, he's not just your typical messenger, and he doesn't just bring the typical message. This isn't just message from another town or another village. This isn't just a message from one person to another, but Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. So the message he brings is a message from God about God. That's what makes the gospel so unique. It's what makes it so special, is the gospel is not just another message, but it is a message from God about God. That's where we pick up this morning with verse 10. Paul says, "Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Now you remember, the early Christians were all Jewish. That's just what they were. They were Jewish people. They were circumcised. They followed the ancient traditions, the customs of the elders, the ceremonial washings of hands, the dietary restrictions. The early Christians, the very first Christians, they were Jewish. And then they heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, so that the blessings and peace of God might come to you for free. I mean, that's the good news of the gospel, that Jesus died in our place for our sins so that the blessing and peace of God might come to you for free. That's really good news. It's such good news that Paul went throughout Galatia, what we call modern day Turkey. He went throughout Galatia spreading that good news. And he went primarily to Jewish people. He went to different synagogues. But as Paul spread the good news, some of the people who heard the message were not Jewish. That is, they didn't follow the Jewish customs, the ceremonial hand washings, the dietary restrictions. Some of the people were not Jewish, and yet they heard the good news, and they believed, and they received the blessings of God for free through Jesus Christ. Now imagine that you were one of those early Jewish Christians. By definition, you were probably very conservative. Okay, to be conservative means you want to conserve or preserve the past. That's what it means to be conservative. It means you want to hold on to the good things of the past. You want to protect or preserve the old ways. To be Jewish, okay, by definition at the time, was to be conservative. You want to preserve the old ways, the teachings, the traditions of the elders. To be liberal is to want to change. Okay? Come from the German word Lieber, which means free. To be liberal is to want to be free of the past. Free of the old ways, free from tradition, free to do things differently, free to do things your own way. To be liberal is to want change. To be conservative is to resist change. If you were a Jewish believer in the first century, almost by definition, you were conservative. Because to be Jewish meant to cling to the traditions of your fathers. And so, if you were a Jewish Christian in Paul's day, you would have at least been tempted to think that Paul has gone soft. After all, he's telling people that they can receive the blessings of God for free without following the traditions. And so if you were a Jewish Christian, you'd at least be tempted to think Paul has gone soft. He's gone weak. He's gone liberal. Okay? It would at least be tempting to think that Paul has sold out. That he's just telling people what they want to hear. That he's dumbing the message down. From the perspective of a Jewish Christian, it would be easy to think that Paul has sold out, he's gone soft, and he's just telling people what they want to hear. And so Paul addresses that in our text this morning. He says, is that what's happening? Am I now seeking the approval of man? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, obviously, it's not wrong to please one another. Okay? The world would be a much better place, a much more pleasant place, if we worked harder at trying to please one another. I mean, husbands, you should do everything you can, biblically speaking, to please your wife. Okay, why not? Wives, you ought to do everything you can, humanly speaking, to make your husband more comfortable. Why not? The world would be a much more pleasant place if we were more considerate and more thoughtful of others and tried to make other people more happy and more comfortable. Okay, we ought to try to please one another. And yet we saw last week, our problem is not just that we are selfish. We can be selfish, okay? Me, me, me. We all know what that's like. And most religions are designed to address selfishness, okay? But the problem is not just that we are selfish. It is that we are man-centered. That is, even when you're not selfish, even when you're outgoing, even if you're family-oriented, you're extroverted, you're relational, you're community-minded, even when you're not selfish, we tend to live as if this world is all that there is. Or at least as if this world is all that matters. Of course, that's not true. This world is all about God. The Lord is the center and measure of all things. We saw last week that the universe in which we live is radically God-centered. And so the Lord is the one we should be seeking to please. I mean, sure, we should all try to please one another. We should all be more considerate. But our first responsibility is to be pleasing to God. Paul says, if all I'm doing is trying to tell people what I think they want to hear, I'm no longer serving the Lord. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I've been sent by God. He's my boss. I live for him. And if I somehow am changing the message just to make it easy for people, I am no longer being faithful to Jesus. Jesus gave his life to save us from our pride. Okay? When I live as if I'm the center of the universe, what my feelings is what matters most, obviously that's pride. But if I'm outgoing, generous with my time, I'm relational, I'm considerate, that can still be pride. If I'm living as if what I see is all that really matters. Jesus died to save us from that, okay? To reorient us to a right relationship with the Lord who is the center and measure of all things, okay? There was a time when people thought that the earth was the center of the universe and everything revolved around the earth, and until we experienced what they call a paradigm shift, where people came to understand that everything doesn't revolve around the earth, but rather the earth and everything in our universe revolves around the sun. It was a major shift in their way of thinking. Okay. Jesus died on the cross to save you from your pride and to enable you to experience what we might call a paradigm shift, a change of your thinking, so that you begin to reorient yourself to realize the world does not revolve around me or around us. But the world revolves around Jesus Christ. Jesus died to set you free from what Paul calls this present evil age, to come into saving relationship, fellowship with God, who's the center of all things. Okay? Jesus gave his life on the cross to save us from our pride and our guilt. Our guilt is what happens when we live as if we're the center of the world. Our guilt is what happens when we live as if what we see is all that matters. Okay, Jesus died in our place upon the cross to save us both from our pride and our guilt, to bring us into fellowship with God, who's the center of all things, so that God's blessings and peace might come to you for free. That is really good news. In fact, it is a supernatural message from God. Paul says in verse 11, I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. That is, that the message that Paul is bringing is not just a message from man. It's not just something he thought up. It's not just something he heard. The gospel is something altogether different. It's something altogether unique. The gospel is a supernatural message from God about God. The gospel will always seem conservative to some people. Right? Some people reject the gospel because it just sounds like, oh, yeah, tradition, 1950s American living. Some people reject the gospel just because it just seems conservative. Okay? The gospel always seems liberal to some people. Okay? The truth is, the gospel will never fit in either category. I mean, now, sometimes we tend to look at the gospel as Christians through a conservative lens, or we look at the gospel through a liberal lens, but the gospel will never fit in one of those categories because the gospel is something different altogether. It is a supernatural message from God. And to some, it's going to seem conservative because in every situation, in every culture, there's always some good things to hold on to. There's always some values that need to be preserved. And so the gospel will always seem conservative to some, and it will always seem liberal to some, because there are always some things that need to change. There are always some things that need to change. And so the gospel will always seem conservative to some and liberal to others, but the truth is the gospel will never fit neatly in one of these narrow categories because it's something altogether different. Okay? The gospel is a supernatural message from God about God. It is supernatural in its origin, and it is supernatural in its effect. Paul says in verse 12, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying the gospel is not just another tradition that was passed down from the elders, nor was it something he learned in school. Remember that Paul had studied under the famous Gamaliel, famous, well-respected Jewish teacher. Paul says, the gospel is not something I simply picked up, a tradition that I learned from this man or that man. But rather, the gospel is a message directly from God. He says, I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not a message made up to justify our way of living. We all do that, and you've known people who do that. We make up a mindset, we come up with an idea or a message to justify the way we want to live. I do certain things, I live a certain way, and then I make up an excuse or a rationalization or a theory to justify my lifestyle. The gospel is not just another message made up to justify our way of living. The gospel is a message from God that will completely change your way of living. Look what Paul says. He says, you've heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Okay. Often, not always, but often, the younger generation is more liberal. Okay. That is, often it's the older generation that resists change. The older generation remembers the good old days, and it's the younger generations that want to do things differently. And I suspect when Paul was younger, there were probably some Jewish people his age, some young people, who resisted some of the teachings of the elders. Perhaps some complained about how all the rules and all the details. But Paul was not one of them. I mean, here he is, he's being accused of being liberal. Paul says, you know who I am. You remember what I was like. You've heard my story. I wasn't liberal. He says, I was ultra conservative. Maybe there were some other people my age who bucked against the rules, but I wasn't one of them. He says, I was passionate. I was zealous for the traditions of the fathers. He says, in fact, I was so passionate that when I perceived the Christian church to be a threat to our traditions, I persecuted the church and tried to destroy it. So Paul's saying, you can't say I'm just another one of those liberal people who've sold out. If anyone cared about tradition, it was me. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Okay. Paul says, in effect, don't talk to me about tradition. I know all about tradition. I was passionate. I was zealous about tradition. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, he says, but God had set me apart for this purpose. Before I was even born, God had set me apart. And when he chose to reveal Jesus Christ to me, Paul says, that changed everything. I know about tradition. I'm passionate. I'm ultra conservative. But when God revealed Jesus to me, he says, that changed everything. He says, when he was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Now you understand, this is the kind of person that Paul used to be. He was into going to the elders. He was into getting advice. He was into the system. He was into going to this rabbi and that rabbi and going to this elder and that elder. He was into getting their advice and counsel and making a good impression on them. He was guilty of what we would call fear of man. Okay, fear of man is when you worry about what everybody else thinks of you. Fear of man is when you are living to impress other people. That's what Paul was all about. He was ultra-conservative in his case, at least in part, because he wanted to impress the other elders. But Paul says, Jesus changed me. Okay? The gospel sets you free from fear of man. Okay? Paul was of this type to the extreme, but he says, but when Jesus was revealed to me, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I didn't have to go to Rabbi Akiba and say, well, Rabbi, what do you think of this? I didn't have to go to Rabbi Akbar and say, what do you think about this? I didn't have to go check some scroll, because this was God. When God revealed his son to me, I didn't have to go ask someone for advice. He says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So Paul didn't have to go to the rabbis and ask for advice. Neither did he run to Jerusalem and ask the apostles what they thought. Instead, he said, I went to Arabia, presumably to be alone with the Lord, to pray, to study, to preach. It says he went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Keep in mind, Paul was not one of the original 12 apostles. Some people were dismissing his message by saying that Paul wasn't really an apostle. They're saying all he knows, he learned from the other apostles. All he knows, he learned from being in Jerusalem. And so he doesn't really have the whole story yet. Paul is saying that the gospel is free, but he doesn't understand everything. He hasn't learned it all yet. And so Paul is passionate to explain that he did not learn this gospel from the other apostles. He learned it directly from Jesus. He says, I didn't even go to Jerusalem for 3 years. And when I did, I spent 15 days with Cephas, that's Peter. And I did happen to see James, but other than that, I didn't see the other apostles. It's not as if Paul had to run to Jerusalem and ask the apostles what to believe, or go around to each one trying to make an impression on them, because Paul had been changed. That's the kind of person he used to be, but now Paul has been changed. We often think the gospel is good news for those people. Those people out there, those people who are not religious. The gospel is good news for the alcoholic, for the drunkard, for the immoral people, for the people like the Gentiles. The gospel is good news for those people, and it is. The gospel does save us from an irreligious lifestyle. But what we see here is the gospel also saves us from religion. Paul was a religious man. He was an extremely religious man, and he had to be saved from that as well. No one is so good that you don't need God's grace. I mean, maybe you've grown up in church your whole life. You know all the Sunday school answers. Maybe you're more conservative than all your friends. Great. Good for you. But no one is so good that you don't need God's grace. Paul was extremely good by most people's standards. I mean, he was passionate about following the religious traditions, and yet he desperately needed God's grace. No one is so moral or so good that you don't need God's grace, and no one is so bad that you can't be saved by God's grace. No one is so lost. No one is so flawed. No one is so broken that you can't be reached by God's grace. Paul was a deeply flawed man. In his passion to follow the traditions of the fathers, he actually thought he was pleasing God when he was persecuting the church. He was a deeply flawed man, and yet God's grace came to him and saved him. No one is so good that you don't need God's grace, but no one is so lost or broken that you can't be reached by God's grace. What we see this morning is the gospel doesn't just tell you to change. The gospel changes you. The gospel doesn't just tell you to get your house in order. It doesn't just tell you to change. The gospel actually changes you. Paul says the gospel is the power of God for those who believe. Look how our text ends. He says, in what I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Okay? Paul is saying, it's not like I had to go to Jerusalem and sit in the churches of Judea for years and learn the gospel. I got it from Jesus. He says, those churches in Judea, they don't even know who I am. Only the thing that they've heard secondhand is that I've changed. That they've heard that I, who used to persecute the church, was now preaching that faith I used to try to destroy. And Paul says, they glorified God because of me. They did not glorify Paul. Boy, what a good man Paul is. See how he's turned his life around. See how good and moral he is. They didn't glorify God. They didn't glorify Paul. They glorified God because the gospel was not a message of how to fix yourself. Most of the religions of the world really are about how to change yourself, how to clean up your act. The gospel is not how to clean up your act. It's not about you. The gospel is primarily about God and who he is and what he has done. How Jesus Christ has come and freely gave himself for you. How Jesus freely gave his life on the cross for you to pay for your sin, to save you from pride, to deliver you from guilt. Jesus came and gave himself so that God's blessings and peace might come to you for free. The gospel is not one more thing you got to do. The gospel is a message of good news of what God and Jesus has already done for you. It's exciting. It's refreshing. It's invigorating. It's really good news because the gospel is a supernatural message from God. It's not just a message that comes from God. It's a message that is about God, and it's a message that will change you. Okay? Maybe you can stop smoking. You can clean up your language, shed a few pounds, get in better shape. Maybe you can even overcome some of your self-centeredness. But on our own, we cannot change the fact that we approach life as if what we see is all that really matters. Only God can do that. Only God can work in us in such a way that we reorient our lives to come into fellowship with him who really is the center of all things. That's what God can do. The gospel doesn't just tell you to change. The gospel changes you. And that is good news. That is exciting. It's refreshing. It's invigorating. It is a supernatural message from God that has supernatural effects in your life. Look how Paul was changed. The gospel is good news. Good news from God that will change you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we need good news. We look at ourselves, we look at the world around us, we think about our health problems and our difficulties, financial bills that are piling up. There's bad news all around. And we can't handle one more burden, one more responsibility, one more thing on the to-do list. Lord, we need good news. We need to remember what you've done. We need to remember who you are. We need blessings that are free. We need peace with God. We need your grace, Lord. We need to be turned away from ourselves and brought to you. And Lord, we pray that you'd do that this morning. We pray that you'd open up the eyes of our heart. We pray that you would reorient our thinking, that you would turn us around to see you as the Lord and the center, the maker and creator of all things. Help us, O Lord, to see the good news of who you are and what you've done. Lord, help us to receive the free gift of blessings and peace in Jesus Christ. That the good news of the gospel would change us. Lord, we know we need to be changed. We know we need to be different, Lord. We ask you, forgive us, bless us, and change us to the glory of God. We ask this, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.